Microsoft talks iPod killer.
Metallica finally lands in the iTunes music store.
We have an interview with Julian Miller of Script Software.
3 weeks from WWDC.
My Mac Podcast 92.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com Podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
So we're sitting down to record here at the last second. Chad grabs his chamois and just wipes a little bit of smudge. I can't even see it from my vantage point on his MacBook. Like, and he's so dainty doing it, like, oh look, there's a little smudge on my Macintosh screen.
Oh, it's so bright and shiny.
I must keep it blemish free.
I do like that reflective screen.
Yeah.
And it does not detract from using it outdoors, which has been nice. So.
Really?
Yeah,
you have used it outside, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's you get pretty good range on your Netgear wireless router. I think you get better range than I get on my AirPort Extreme.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not... I don't know. Not lately, if you remember just a little while ago, a couple... Actually, it might have been last show.
Last show, talking about the repeater.
Yeah. Find out that it's not... It wasn't just my cable modem. There is something goofy with my AirPort Extreme base station. So, it just... decides, you know what, I've had enough today and not going to do no more. And I'm like, come on. So I have to go to the G5, which is physically connected to it, and reset it and restart it, and then it's fine. But
still,
just for some reason, it just decides, you know what, there's no other network, wireless networks in the area. It's completely up to date now, so I might just end up retiring it and breaking out the Netgear, the same one you have that I got from Small Dog. Break that out and hook that up and see if the problem disappears, and if it does, I'll just sell the AirPort Extreme base station on eBay or something.
Yeah, and
I mean,
know,
it still works. It's just not working the greatest for me.
Right, and you sat out back on the patio and surfed from my backyard, basically.
Yeah, and it was, I had two bars.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm 25 feet away from it, and I've got two bars. This is great. So anyways, a lot of Mac news, a lot of technology news going on this week. And of course, we do have that interview with Julian Miller, which you're actually more up to date than I am. I've been lax in researching the software and the guest, which is not normal for me, but I've just I've been busy. And
Julian's been making the rounds on a lot of the podcasts and also on some of the video podcasts as well.
MacNN.
Yep, he did a nice one on MacNN where he demonstrated ChatFX, which is the big product that they're pushing right now, but they have a lot of offerings besides that, and I kind of like to touch base with him on those and
absolutely
information on that. So
it ought to be an interesting interview, and I'm looking forward to talking to him and learning more about him.
Yep.
So let's get into a little bit of Mac news as we get going here. Go ahead, you can kick her off.
Yeah, and here we were, seeing nothing happens anymore. But
yeah, here we go.
All right, July 26th, Australian hardware and software developer 22Moo has begun development on Pod Buffet, an iTunes kiosk the company hopes to make available in airports, hotels, shopping centers, etc. Currently, the prototype will be powered by an Apple Intel-based Mac Mini running on a 15-inch TFT screen with virtual keyboard software, a wireless internet connection, and a customized application for timed access to iTunes, notes the announcement. The Pod Buffet iTunes kiosk will also feature multiple dock connectors and a female USB and FireWire port for older iPods and Shuffle owners.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how that's going to work.
Download your podcast.
Yeah, go up and, you know, I didn't get the latest MyMac podcast, and I happen to be in, you know, Frankfurt.
Yep.
Go up to the, I'm in the airport, plug in, bam, I've got it.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it erase all the information on your current iPod? I mean, when you plug in your iPod to another computer, it says, do you want to sync with this library?
No.
Well, no, I don't want it. Shouldn't you be able to have it sync with multiple computers? Not necessarily the purchase music, because Apple's like, oh, no, don't steal music.
Yeah.
But just so I can do that. So I can go and I can download that podcast. Unless, I don't know. I don't know how it would work.
Unless you got a little Shuffle and you just, you know, you don't mind wiping out whatever's in there. But still, I still want to have my traveling music, even if I, you know, don't have my podcast.
Yeah. And I'm curious on how they're going to make money doing it. Are they going to charge people to use that kiosk? No one's going to pay money to use an iTunes kiosk at an airport, especially if it's going to erase all the current music on your iPod until you get home and can resync it with that.
Yeah.
And then when you do that, all that music you just bought is gone. So
yeah, I'm curious to see how they go around that.
Yeah, it should be good. July 26th, Apple, Facebook offer back-to-school promotions. Apple and Facebook have inked out a deal to offer 10 million iTunes song samplers free of charge, reports Macworld UK. Facebook will give away 1 million 25 song music samplers from iTunes each week for the next 10 weeks, notes the report. Each iTunes music sampler will feature selected songs from a different genre, ranging from alternative to rock, hip-hop, to dance, and electronica. In addition, Facebook users also have access to Apple Education discount and receive a free iPod Nano with the purchase of a MacBook, MacBook Pro, iMac, or PowerMac G5. I have no idea what Facebook is.
Neither do I. It must be something in the UK.
Or something to do with education, or yeah. It's big with the college scene, and we're just old fogies and not with it.
We'll have to get David Cohen on that right now.
David, go find out what Facebook is.
Next, Warner Brothers beefs up Apple's iTunes content. July 25th, Warner Brothers Home Entertainment Group and Apple Today announced that classic hit programming from Warner Brothers television library is now available for purchase and download on iTunes Music Store. The new content features favorites such as the popular sitcom Friends, sci-fi epic Babylon 5, and some of the most popular sketches from Mad TV, as well as an animated classics including The Jetsons and The Flintstones. iTunes offers over 150 TV shows for $1.99 per episode. You all know that.
Yep.
But also available is the never-before-seen pilot episode of Aquaman, a grounded contemporary reinterpretation of the DC Comics Aquaman mythology.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I guess it's a show that it was never shown, so I guess they made a pilot and went, nah, it sucks, and I'm not going to show it. I've heard other networks talking about for canceled shows to actually not cancel them. And show them online instead.
Yeah.
And it would be a different advertising revenue generation tool for them. I think that would be a great idea.
Instead
of limiting all their content to, you know,
whatever they can pump over a cable.
Yeah, which really is a narrow time slot. You know, they don't do it during the day, and they don't do it late at night. It's essentially between, what, 8 o'clock till 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, until the evening news. That's your window. That's all you have.
Yep.
So you really only have 3-4 hours a night of programming.
Mm-hmm.
And they've pretty much given up on Fridays and Saturdays at this point.
Oh, yeah. What was it? NBC or ABC was offering $250,000 for any idea or script that they could produce into something marketable.
Right. Yeah.
So they were so desperate to fill that time slot.
Yeah. So here's another way you can have great shows, potentially, with a new audience online. Watch it on your computer free. Yes, they'll be advertising. No, you won't be able to skip over them, but that's fine. I mean, if you're watching it for free on your computer, people hate advertising, I know, but hey, it's free. What do you want? I mean, the actors have to make money. They're not going to act in these shows without being paid. The networks aren't made out of money.
And what the heck, if you don't like the commercial, grab the little bar and pull it till you don't see it anymore.
Exactly, yeah, just hide it. Hit mute. I mean, you know. Apple debuts wireless Mighty Mouse. Apple Today introduced, today being July 25th when this was written, Apple Today introduced the wireless Mighty Mouse, a new version of its popular multi-button mouse. I don't know about popular. I haven't heard anybody that's really likes the thing.
I know.
Some people they think it's okay, but it really didn't take the Mac market by storm like Apple thought it would.
No.
The new wireless Mighty Mouse offers a reliable, secure connection to Mac and features a new laser tracking engine that is 20 times more sensitive than the standard optical mouse for better tracking on even more surfaces. Priced at $70, Apple's wireless Mighty Mouse, here I come to save it, includes up to 4 independently programmable buttons and a scroll wheel that lets users scroll in any direction. The new Mighty Mouse is available immediately.
Go out and, well, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, $70 for a mouse is just, to me, that's just like, dang, $70.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least with the Microsofts,
you get a keyboard and
a mouse.
Yep.
So you break that down, it's $50 for the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I don't know.
Next, Amazon to offer online movie store.
But not porn. So it's doomed to failure.
July 24th, Amazon has plans to open an online movie store in about 4 weeks, notes MarketWatch based on an Advertising Age article. The report says that consumers will be able to order VHS and DVDs of movies and also download ad-free digital versions of full-length films and TV shows from the online retailer. Amazon DV is expected to offer subscription and a la carte options, pay by the month, and you'll get a package of movies online, or you can buy exactly what you want, according to the story.
Interesting. If anybody can make it work, I think it'd be Amazon.
Yeah.
A lot of people said, well, Netflix. Well, Netflix may have a lot of users, but they have nowhere near the users that Amazon has. I mean,
right.
So if anybody can make it work, it's definitely Amazon.
Yeah,
or Apple.
Apple.
Yeah. Apple would be the other one. And I think we're probably going to hear something. I mean, if Amazon has a deal now to distribute movies electronically, you know Apple's got something in the works. And we're going to find out in probably about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
When WWDC kicks off in the mid-August in San Francisco. I'm looking forward to that.
Yep.
AMD has acquired graphic chip maker ATI for $5.4 billion. That's what the B.
Friendly takeover.
Yeah. ATI, as many of you know, are the suppliers for many of the graphic chips inside most recent Macs, including the MacBook Pro. With Apple working with Intel on the processor front, what does this mean for AMD now? Are they still going to be the supplier?
Yep.
Will Apple look for another graphic chip maker? Can you say NVIDIA? Or will this signal a new relationship between AMD and Apple? Only time will tell, but I wouldn't hold my breath. Apple really seems to be in bed with Intel, and I would assume that probably the next version of whatever the Power Mac's going to be, the Mac Pro, let's just call it that, because I think that's probably what it's going to be. And I know Steve Jobs listens to the show all the time, and he's heard us say that, so he's going to go with it.
Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if he does. We aren't going to get anything from it.
I think it's going to be NVIDIA, or it's going to be something that Intel themselves designed for a graphic chip.
Yeah.
But I kind of hope they go with NVIDIA. It would make more sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Next, a news post up at the unofficial Apple weblog talks about HP wanting to change their business image and be cool like Apple.
Someone should tell HP that just because they want to be cool does not mean that they are or will become. I mean, geez, didn't they watch any of the teen movies in the 1980s?
Maybe they were never teenagers to begin with, because you knew that.
Yeah.
If you went to a public school, you knew that.
They want to be cool. I'm sorry, they're a 70-year-old company at this point, aren't they?
No.
60, 70 years old? You're not going to be cool like Apple. Mm-hmm. It's not going to... I don't care who you hire as your advertising agency, you're not cool, HP. Accept it. You guys make very good and very reliable machines.
Sure do.
You know, their printers, I think, are some of the best out there.
Yeah.
They really are.
Good cameras, too.
Good cameras. That's what I use. That's the camera I use on a daily basis is an HP. And we did a review just a little while ago.
Yep.
And I'm sure they make fine PCs, but I'm not going to go buy a PC, so I wouldn't know.
Yep.
But you're not cool. You're not going to become cool. And as we all learned from 80s teen movies, just because you want to be cool doesn't make you cool. And then even if you become cool somehow from trickery, like you dressed like a guy and went to a different school, HP, eventually you're going to find out that being cool isn't all it's cracked up to be. And you really are in love with the loser from your old school. So.
Yeah.
Cute. We're going to take a quick break, come back and do our interview. And then we got some content we want to go over. We want to talk about Zune, which is the new Microsoft iPod killer.
Whoopee!
Some feedback. And what's going on up at the website? There's a lot of stuff going
on. Yeah, we really need to get people caught up with what's going on the MyMac.com website.
There's a lot of stuff. And I got an email from our buddy who happens to, he's with us. He's been listening to us, I should say, for a long time. And that's Jarrett. And we're going to find out what's going on with Zelic Software, and I think we're going to work with him here real soon on a contest.
Good.
Not today, but...
Well, maybe we can finally get him on for an interview.
We really should. I've talked with him.
I know we have.
David Avery and I talked with him a three-way conversation one night. Mm-hmm. He's funny. He's intelligent. Mm-hmm. He writes great software. We really should probably get him on the show. Yep. So, first, though, we want to say thank you to Small Dog Electronics.
Yes, Small Dog has all your Apple computing needs, whether you need RAM, whether you need hard drives, whether you need...
an iPod case or iPod Shuffle. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got pretty much everything. They even have their own iPod store called the Pod Jungle.
Yep, I was going to say, go to Pod Jungle for great deals on iPod accessories and a great selection.
They've been sponsoring this podcast for over a year at this point.
And they've been sponsoring the MyMac.com website for...
Jeez, 9 years.
Yeah.
And we've been publishing for almost 12 now, and they've been with us almost since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we really appreciate them. We appreciate you guys shopping at Small Dog Electronics. And when you do, make sure you tell them You heard about you. Yeah, that we sent you. Hey, I heard from you guys about you guys on the MyMac.com website or the MyMac podcast. So thank you very much, Small Dog.
Is there a dinosaur in your life? A big, slow computer that eats up space? Remember what happened to the dinosaurs? They all got sick with viruses and worms. Dump the dinosaur and get a Mac. The Mac Mini is fast, nimble, no bigger than a lunchbox, and you can go wireless without a phone jack in sight. Macs aren't immune from viruses, but they are much less likely to catch them. Find out why at Small Dog Electronics in Waitsfield and on the web at smalldog.com.
Another one of our sponsors is Ramjet. Ramjet has excellent RAM for your Macintosh or PC.
Yep, and great prices. So be sure to, if you're looking for RAM, be sure to check out ramjet.com.
Yeah, if you think RAM, think Ramjet.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Ramjet and Small Dog Electronics, for sponsoring the podcast. Let's talk a little bit while we're waiting for our guest to arrive via either Skype or iChat. I don't care which one either, but he hasn't showed up yet, so We're going to hang out a little bit, and he's probably right in the middle of something. You know how you get busy sometimes.
And you got to remember, he's on Hawaii time.
And we're on East Coast, so, I mean, that's six hours. Yeah. So it's 6:30 our time was scheduled to do the interview, which is 12:30 his time.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Anything could happen during the middle of the day.
He could be surfing, for all we know.
So Zune is the Microsoft's iPod killer.
Yeah,
so let's kind of look at what the Zune is all about. First, it actually looks very much like the iPod. Minimalist buttons on and a scroll wheel, as well as being white in color. I wonder where that inspiration came from, Chad.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta wonder.
Now, Microsoft is calling the Zune a music and entertainment project. They say it will consist of the player itself, a desktop application from which you will buy content, manage it, and transfer it to the computer. Wow, what a brilliant marketing idea.
Does this sound familiar to anybody else or just
me? This is earth-shattering, Tim. Earth-shattering, I tell you.
What about Microsoft's Play for Sure service, which is used by Creative Labs and Napster? Will those services be compatible with the Zune? Nope. And in fact, the Zune is a new content model, more in line with the iPod. Microsoft says they will continue to develop Play for Sure service used in third-party digital music players, but that those players are not a part of the Zune universe. In fact, no one really seems to know if the new Urge venture between Microsoft and MTV will even work with the Zune. So,
gee, that wouldn't be that unusual either, but...
In a ZDNet interview, Donna Harris of Napster said that their company is not worried about competing with Microsoft. It is strange that Napster has to work with Microsoft, as their platform depends on the Windows Media 11 software, as well as Play for Sure. And at the same time, they've got to compete with Microsoft's Zune initiative. So, they're competitors, but yet they have to work together.
Yeah.
Does that sound a little fishy to anybody?
And Napster isn't worried about it?
Yeah, they're not worried. Like, Microsoft's like, well, you know, we're still going to develop this old system for you guys so you guys can make a buck, but we're really going to put most of our marketing arm behind our new Zune.
Yeah.
As a point in fact, the division at Microsoft who is in control of the Play for Sure market is a different division of Microsoft than the Zune team, meaning that not only is Microsoft competing with their own third-party developers, but with themselves as well.
Yeah.
It's...
Okay, I don't know. I don't understand it. I really don't. And, you know, I would think that Microsoft would just leave this part of the market alone, considering who's in charge here.
How is the Zune any different than the iPod and iTunes? The Zune would be a closed system as well, just like the iPod. So where's the benefit?
Well, I think part of the benefit is that, you know, for, like, say, the French government, it really gives them somebody with a lot of money to go out after.
Microsoft is saying that they'll buy you out of iTunes. In other words, you get a Zune, it will probably do something like scan your iTunes music library for iTunes purchased music, and then give you that music for free. Well, I'm sure it won't be for free. They'll probably rent it to you on a subscription type of plan. But ostensibly, they'll say we're giving it to you for free.
Well, but how's it going to differentiate between what you ripped in there from your own CD collection and what you bought from the the bought stuff will have a DRM on it,
right? So that's how you'll tell. That's how the software will tell.
Yeah.
But still, why is this a benefit? You know, Microsoft was the company coming out saying, the iPod is a bad idea with iTunes because it's a closed system. It doesn't offer choice. People want choice. That's why we're developing Play for sure. People want choice. Well, maybe they don't want choice, Microsoft, and Microsoft's betting once again that a closed system is what people want. So this is really an iTunes iPod direct competitor.
Right.
Will it work?
Yeah.
I
don't know. I tend to think not. I think they're way too late in coming to this, and I think they are.
Apple owns the market already.
Yeah. And they're stealing a model that already exists.
Yeah. And Apple keeps inking new deals with new content providers and different types of content. Movies, television shows, commercials during the Super Bowl, sporting events, and let's not forget music. Music.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. I don't know what to think of it.
I just think it's a bad investment for
Microsoft. Speaking of iTunes.
Yeah.
Microsoft has finally joined the 21st century. Starting this week, Metallica's entire music catalog is available for purchase in the iTunes Music Store. This was a news story.
Oh, yeah.
Many of you will remember Metallica's drummer Lars Ulrich publicly blasted Napster. And he was very hostile towards digital music swapping in the past. The only thing that seems to have changed? Money. iTunes is proven to be popular, is selling a lot of music, and Metallica obviously wants in on the action.
Yep.
That being said, I'm an old school Metallica fan.
Yeah,
I was listening to Metallica before Metallica was Metallica.
Yeah, back before anybody would listen to them.
Yeah,
I was listening to Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets, the classic Metallica stuff. You know?
And when the Black Album came out in 1991, it was a watershed moment for that band. And it was by far their best album. You could finally buy, and I think it's one of the seminal albums of the 20th century. I really do. I know a lot of people, Metallica, come on. If you listen to the Black Album from start to finish, that's just, every one of those songs is just fantastic.
Right, and how many of the popular artists today, even the guys that will, like, you know, play that sort of fusion, punk, heavy metal, rap stuff, all trace their inspiration back to Metallica.
A lot of them. A whole lot of them.
Yep.
So it's nice to see the biggest rock band in the world, and they are, let's not fool ourselves. Metallica, a lot of people, the Rolling Stones or, you know, U2. I'm sorry, nobody sells as many concert tickets as Metallica. The Black Album still regularly sells 1 million copies a year, and it came out in 91.
Yep.
I mean, it's old enough to drive at this point. You know? So
that's true.
It doesn't seem like it's that old to me, but it is.
Yeah.
Which happened to coincide with my 21st birthday, so I have very fond memories of that album. So, finally, the biggest rock band in the world has their music available for digital purchase. I think that's a wake-up call to anybody else that wants to enter the iTunes Music Store type of business. Apple is dominant. They do not have, and we've talked about this in the past, they are not a monopoly.
Right.
But they do dominate. And they do it for a reason. Apple makes it so simple to buy your music, listen to it on your iPod, and manage it very easily. Microsoft's touting the Wi-Fi capabilities of the Zune, that somehow you'll be able to have your Zune, and I'll be able to have mine, and I'll be able to sample the music on yours, or maybe you'll be able to purchase it without connecting it to a computer, or I'm not sure how it's going to work.
I don't care.
I don't. Yeah, it's... And here's the other question. Will it be compatible with the Mac? It will.
When monkeys fly out my butt, maybe, yeah. And why, once again, why would I go through the hassle of switching?
If you're already invested in the iPod, and let's be honest, anybody who is really interested in buying digital music and having an MP3 player probably already has an iPod.
Yeah.
Why would you want to buy something totally different, totally incompatible, totally different environment? I'm not talking about PCs and Macs. I'm talking the iTunes Music Store and whatever this is going to be. And I guarantee if you look at it, it's going to look so similar to the iTunes Music Store, it's going to make you throw up.
Yeah.
I mean, the Zune player itself looks, I don't want to say identical to the iPod, but there's some obvious styling cues they took from Apple there.
Yeah.
Why would you want to even consider investing in something brand new?
Because I want to be countercultural. I don't want to be viewed as an eye sheet. That's why.
So we're going to get the player from the biggest company in the world. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, well, good luck with that, Microsoft. Another bad idea.
I think Well, here's the thing, though. I hope they do succeed to a certain extent. I really do. Because that's going to drive the innovation at Apple to make iTunes and the iPod even better than what it is already.
True.
And that's what Apple needs competition. Anybody who leads a market by a vast majority, nobody even comes close.
Right.
Usually they stagnate.
And
when that happens, innovation goes out the window, people get used to whatever it is, there's not many changes, so Apple needs that competition.
Yeah, sounds like
that. And who else can challenge Apple for that market?
Than Microsoft, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody can compete with Apple, that's who it will be. Amazon can't, they're not a hardware maker, and they're not a software maker. So their movie store thing really isn't a competition for the iTunes music store. Because if you have an iPod, you're not going to be able to buy anything at Amazon and watch it on your iPod.
And you probably aren't already anyways.
Well, you know what? That may not be true. If they let you download it in the right format, you could drag it into iTunes and watch it there. But that's assuming that there's no DRM on that video file, which, yeah, good luck with that.
Right.
Ain't going to happen. So, you know, I see all these other companies wanting to move into the territory that Apple has kind of staked out for themselves. Nobody has done digital movies correctly yet.
Right.
I think Apple is going to be the first one to do it very successfully, if not Amazon. I think Amazon's the only other one that can really make a run for it. Google, I don't think they're capable of doing it. They already put up a video thing, and it's so haphazard and clunky that it's YouTube's kicking their butt. I mean, and let's be honest, as useful and fun it is to watch some of the videos on YouTube, it's crappy when it comes to the quality of the video. I don't mean what you're watching. I mean the actual quality
of the video. So if you actually download it,
and it looks like crap compared to what you can do with the same video. I mean, we've posted a few things on the website in YouTube format. And the same thing that we'll offer to our subscribers of the podcast via iTunes, that you can actually download it from there. The quality is night and day.
Right.
What you get from our RSS feed in iTunes in video is 10 times what you get if you watch it online via YouTube.
Right.
So, you know, even though it looks so crappy, people are using YouTube because it's just so much easier than Google's mess.
Yep.
So who else out there knows how to provide digital content easily found, easily managed? Well, all that is Amazon.
Yeah.
Their recommendation systems work really well. They have an easy-to-use website. It's fast. They have enough clout to make deals with the big movie industries, Hollywood. They could do it.
Yeah.
But so could Apple. And I think Apple is going to give you the choice to be able to watch it away from the computer, whereas Amazon's going to require you're sitting in front of that computer.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the iPod is not an optimal device to use as a movie player.
No.
Even if you hook it up to a TV, it still doesn't look that hot. I mean, it looks okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, I don't think, and some people have argued with me in the past about this, I don't think it's even VHS quality when you hook it up to a television. It's just not. On the other hand, Sony PlayStation Portable, I bought a UMD disc. The only thing I've ever done with my PlayStation, or PSP, I should say,
play games.
Just play games. I bought a video for it. It was real cheap. It was a Metallica. Here goes Metallica again. This is like the Metallica podcast here. I bought some. It's talked about. It's a whole series of different bands, but this one was Metallica's Black Album, and they go back, looking back 16 years and what it took to make it. Blah 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 blah. So I bought this UMD and I watched it on the PlayStation Portable PSP. Man, what a
nice quality!
Oh,
isn't
it's
it?
Just unbelievable. But there's no way to get the video off the PSP to my television.
Nope.
So you're stuck watching on this little crappy player. And the speakers that are built into the PSP suck.
Yeah, you got to have a decent pair of headphones if you're going to do anything with audio on that
thing. I was listening to, I was watching, I should say, that disc. And the bass player is sitting there playing, and I was listening to it on my headphones. And I said, Julie, this is a good demonstration of what a bass could really be. Most bass players don't. They just follow the drums or they follow the chorus. You don't really hear them playing music. Hear somebody that's playing music on their bass, and it's just incredible. So I unplugged the headphones so she could hear, and it was tiny, and you couldn't hear any of the reverb instead of boom, 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 boom. It was bing, 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 bing. And I went, oh, I almost can't listen to it this way. So that's a nice portable device, but there's no way to watch it on a bigger screen.
Yeah.
And honestly, after about 10 minutes, I was sick of holding the PSP. Mm-hmm. I had to prop it up just right on the table, mm-hmm. but then I'm looking down at it.
Yeah.
It's not a device to watch videos on, and I don't think really mm-hmm. the iPod is either.
No.
We need a system. There are some systems already that do it, mm-hmm. but we need a good system to... Mm-hmm. Here's somebody calling. Yeah. Let's pause the recording here real quick. And that was our buddy, Julian.
And unfortunately, he suffered a power outage over in Hawaii, and he is still waiting to get the power back up from his cable company so he can actually fire up his Mac and get online.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah. And like he was telling us on the phone, and we don't want to do a cell phone interview. I've been getting a little static on the phone, and I'd prefer not to do very many more cell phone interviews. They just mm-hmm. don't sound as good. But it's been really hot lately. I don't know what the temperatures are like in Hawaii, but I got to imagine that's pretty warm over there.
Yeah.
And a power outage. And like he was saying, everything's on the computer. He didn't have my cell phone number to call me to let us know because that's on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have internet access. So, I mean, what do you do?
Yeah.
There's not much you can do. So, he's got power back now, but unfortunately the cable doesn't.
Yeah.
So, he's still down. I mean, the computer's on. He can access mm-hmm. his archived email, but he yeah. can't send email, he can't do an iChat, he can't yeah. do Skype. So we're going to reschedule him. Unfortunately, we're filled up over the next 3 weeks, so yeah. we'll see him probably, let's hope,
well, about at a
the
month
end
from
of,
now,
yeah,
actually,
about a
yeah.
month from now, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it happens. It's
yeah.
what can you do? In the meantime, if you want to check out his software, Chad, where would they go?
They would go to scriptsoftware.com.
And check out iChat Effects. It looks like really cool software. I was really looking forward to talking to him. That's
yep.
that's a bummer, but it's unavoidable. What are you mm-hmm. going to do? Buy a backup battery generator and a satellite connection? I don't think so.
No, a pedal power generator and you could, you know, pedal
right.
your Mac.
So, with that out of the way, I want to bring you... I tell you what, let's talk about... Inatech first. They're our third sponsor for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Inatech has been hosting the MyMac.com website for years and years and years, and we couldn't be happier.
Yep.
So if you're looking for a place to park your website, go to Inatech.com, INNO-TECH.com.
The best service on the net.
We love them. Talk to George there. He's the owner, proprietor, and he's just a great guy. Let's get a little bit of feedback. This is
yep.
from Tony May.
Yep, Tony writes, I was listening to podcast 79 again this morning, since it popped up on the iTunes feed again and wanted to respond to one of the questions about running Windows applications without installing Windows on your Mac. There is a product coming out late July or early August called Crossover Mac. It's not necessarily going to run every single Windows application out there or have the performance to run games like you would do with Boot Camp, but it does give you the chance of running a few Windows applications that you just can't live without. While their primary goal is to support the Office suite of applications, their application is based on Wine, and they contribute back to the Wine project for the benefit of everyone. They also maintain a database of applications that end users can add to show the success they've had with other Windows applications that aren't already certified, and they offer the option to adopt an application or applications as an advocate, which involves testing new releases of their software against an application and submitting bug reports. There are a lot more details on their site, which can be found by pointing your browser to www.codeweavers.com and looking for Crossover Mac in the upper right corner. It's not a free solution and may not work for every application out there, but it's a lot cheaper than a full Windows license.
Absolutely. I've actually, before I got the software, this was brought to my attention, and I have already talked to them. We were interested in doing a product review, and they wanted to sign us up for the beta program and write about that. And I basically said, we really are not interested in doing the beta software. When it's released, please mm-hmm. let us know. We'd be happy to do the review, get the word out there about this potentially great solution to running Mac or Windows software on your Mac.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not really going to do any beta software review. I don't want to do that. It's unfair.
It's unfair to the developers.
And it's unfair to the consumers who think, well, this is a piece of crap, I'm not going to buy that. Mm-hmm. And then yet it turns out to be great.
Yeah.
The consumers are the ones that are screwed because they're not going to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the opposite. It sounds great in beta, then the final release comes out, and now it's a piece of crap. And then we led all of our readers to believe this is excellent software because the beta was working so good.
Mm-hmm.
No idea that the release version was going to have 1,000 bugs in it.
Right.
So not saying, you know, good or bad about this software or not, but yeah, we'll find out when it comes out. We'll do a review. Tom Schmidt, he's a new writer at MyMac.com. We'll talk about that in a second. Wrote in about my problems with heat issues on the MacBook Pro. Mm-hmm. He said he found these couple of examples of things you can use. It's a Kinemax notebook cooler. It's USB powered Quiet 3 fan. I've got something very similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a piece of plastic with fans inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
It plugs into the USB port.
Mm-hmm.
That all that does is move the fans, and it blows heat down and out the back.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really work for me.
Yeah.
He also found the X-Pad for a laptop, which I don't know anything about, and the laptop cooling and comfort station from X brand products. So appreciate that, Tom. We're going to have to look into some of that because I can only use the MacBook Pro for maybe 15 to 20 minutes, and then I have to turn it off and get it off my lap because it's simply too hot. And that's not sitting directly on my lap. That's sitting on that fan thing that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I have to do is when I'm, like, downstairs and I'm surfing...
Phone book?
No. You know what I do? I actually, like, rest the Mac on my lap, kind of between my thighs, and leave my thighs touching the side so that the Mac is not actually resting on top of my legs.
It's kind of like a press in there.
Yeah.
Oh, look. Someone's calling back again.
That's hey,
David Avery.
It is.
Yeah. This is Tim.
Hello.
Hey, David. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, not bad. I got a question for you.
Okay.
What's today?
The 20-something?
No, the day.
Seven?
The day.
Wednesday?
What do we do between 6 and 8 on Wednesdays?
Let me guess.
Welcome to the MyMac.com podcast, David Avery.
did I call in again?
Yeah, you're on right now. Say hi to the world, David.
Hi to the world, David. I guess calling to be sensor during the middle of the podcast is becoming a bit of a trend.
Yeah, it's half my fault because I left the phone on.
Well, it's 91 in Austin right now.
91? How's the humidity? Yeah.
I don't know, I'd say it's probably 20%, 10%.
Ah, see.
Not a weatherman.
That's a spring day for us. We get so much humidity out here that you can literally walk from your car to your house without touching the ground. You're literally kind of squishing through the remnants of clouds that were in the sky 4 hours before. It's horrible. Well, hey, let me call you after we get done recording the podcast. And you know what we really need to do is get you scheduled to come on the podcast via Skype or iChat. And do a serious sit down, and it's been a while since you've been on the show, and talk about some cool stuff coming up.
Sure, sounds great.
All right,
let you go.
All right, bye, David.
All right, bye.
I don't usually talk that proper to him. I'm like, "What's up, boy?" You know.
Oh yeah.
So, anyways, back to the feedback.
Yep. We've got another one from Jared Zelick,
and we were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. He writes.
Hi, Tim and Chad. This is Jared from Zelick Software. How is everything with you?
Just fine.
Yep, pretty good. I've been working hard over here and just released a new program, the iPod Photo Liberator.
And you can find out more information on that at Zelick Software. That's Z-E-L-E-K software.com.
I was thinking it would be nice to give a few copies away on your podcast when you need a contest. Perhaps we could also offer the program at a discounted rate for your listeners. Let me know what you think.
No, we're not going to give you any free PR, Jared, sorry.
We've only been trying to get you on the show for how long now?
We definitely want to get together with them, and, and we love contests.
Mm-hmm.
We've been a little, on purpose, lax on contests the last 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to turn this into simply a free-for-all, every company come on and give something away. And we've given away really cool stuff in the past. Getting stuff to give away is absolutely no problem. It's...
Mm-hmm.
Almost the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
You tell them how many people listen and how many people hit the website, and companies line up to give away a free sample because it's really good PR for them.
And we also realize that it is summertime, and some of you guys are not catching the podcast every week, and that's fine because we go on vacation too.
Yeah, or so you're behind on shows. Like earlier, someone had listened to podcast 79, and we're here on podcast 92 now.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things. But Jared's been a long-term listener, long-time listener. He wrote the script for me to pick the contest winners.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Zelic Software is something that I don't mind giving PR to.
Yeah, he also participated in our Katrina Relief project.
Which we still, you know, I was talking to someone about that today, as a matter of fact, our Katrina Relief program. And I think that's something that we're going to want to revisit, not necessarily Katrina victims, but something.
Yep.
And not just a U.S. disaster. Because, let's be honest, probably, it's going to be hard to pinpoint, but I would say at least 40%, maybe a little less, of our listeners are worldwide. They're not in the United States. And we don't want to focus on American politics or American problems at home. We want to look at the entire global community, because that's what the Mac users are. We're a global community. And if there's something out there that really needs to be addressed, something that we may be able to help, even in our own very small way, that's something that we probably want to look at in the future. So something like that would be really fun to do again, I think.
I think so.
A little bit about the iPod Photo Liberator. It's $34.99 and allows you to easily copy photos from your iPod to your computer, filling a missing feature of iTunes and iPhoto. You see, iTunes and iPhoto only allow for one-way transfers of photos from your computer to your iPod. However, what if your computer crashes and all your photos are deleted from your computer?
Or what if you want to download your photos from your iPod to another computer as a backup or to show your friends? Your photos are precious because they capture the memories of your life. Save your photos, recover your memories with iPod Photo Liberator.
Works on a Mac and a PC. So Jared isn't just a one-trick pony. I mean, he writes software for Mac, Windows, and Linux. So that's quite impressive.
Yep.
So that's our show for this week. You want to continue for a few minutes? Yeah, we need to go over.
We need to talk about what's going on on the website.
Yeah, boy, what am I thinking? I'm trying to get out of here early or something, aren't I?
Yeah.
Remember when moving the segments meant a smaller show? We're at 42 minutes right now, and we haven't had one other segment, and plus we don't even have our interview. And we're just kind of cranking along here. Let me open up my MacBook Pro so we can talk a little bit about what's going on MyMac.com. John Martellaro emailed me not quite a week ago after listening to our interview last week with Guy Kawasaki when I asked Guy what his favorite software is and, you know, what's he using. That wasn't an easy question. He had to... You can probably put all that stuff away after we get done recording the podcast here, Chad.
Oh, yeah, I can.
Chad's packing up stuff already. Giving me lip service like, sure.
Yeah, Tim, just wrapping himself.
Let's keep going. You're talking to yourself there, Tim.
Yep. So, what John did is...
He thought, wouldn't it be cool to do... Like, if you see a local newspaper, and they pick which teams... The different sports writers will pick which team they want or they think is going to win.
Yep.
And they put it in a big table. What if we did that with software, with the MyMac writers? And so, John sent out an email to the entire staff asking, what software do you like? And I think it's really interesting that some of the picks. Some of it's pretty... I mean, Photoshop comes probably number one when it comes to graphic software. Email is kind of all over the board. There's a lot of .Mac mail users. Eudora. Some people use web-based. Some people use Thunderbird. So it's all over the place. Word processors is kind of interesting. Nicest Writer... MS Word, Pages, a lot more Word users. Somebody even uses Quark. That's Beth Locke. AppleWorks is still being used by Tom Schmidt. So it's interesting that you get to kind of see what somebody else's workflow is like and what they prefer. Not a lot of people use FTP clients.
Right.
Fetch and Transmit is the most popular. I was the only one to use InterArchy, which I found interesting. So it's something to go into and check out and see if there might be another piece of software that you weren't aware of that somebody else, one of our writers, is using, probably for a good reason.
Yep.
So go to MyMac.com, look for John Martellaro's The Software of the MyMac Writers. Right below that, and this is kind of exciting for me, is What to Do When Your Mac Needs Repair. MyMac.com Help Desk number one from Tom Schmidt. Tom is... He knows Macs. He knows how to fix them. That's what he does for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking for a little while now about him writing a column here at MyMac.com, and his first one is now up. Fantastic article.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody out there is having a problem with your Mac, just don't know what to do, here's an article for you that you can contribute to by sending your questions to Tom@MyMac.com. He'll answer your questions in the article and share it with all the other Mac users out there.
Because chances are, someone's got the same question as you.
Yep, and it's a good one to read, even if you're not having any problems, because it might be a solution to a problem that will crop up, or kind of give you advice on, well, maybe I should do this, because this is what happens if I don't.
Or if you're like Tim or I, you normally have at least one or two relatives who will call you when they have a Mac problem.
Yeah, and you can steer them towards this. You know what? Go read this. Yeah. Now, this isn't the first help desk type of column, an article, I should say, that we've had at MyMac.com.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Bailey was a writer with us for years and years, and he wrote an article for us every mm-hmm. month in the downloadable MyMac magazine called Tech Tips.
Mm-hmm.
And every month he would help people with their Macs. He would either answer email or he'd just write a general purpose column and, you know, this is what you want to use to back up, or if this happens, this is what you do to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting to read Tom's new column and then going back and reading some of Jeremy's old stuff and see that, you know what, some of the problems are very similar. Even though the software is vastly different, especially the OS, some of the problems are kind of universal and they've been around for a long time. Macspiration number 45 from Donnie Ankelo.
Yep, frugal tips is what Donnie writes about.
On Monday, we released the My Mac Mini podcast number 1.
Yep.
I found it very enjoyable, other than the part where I'm speaking.
Yeah, and I actually enjoyed it myself. I know we bannered this back and forth as to whether to move our segments to a separate podcast, and actually, I think I enjoy them more listening to them separately than having to put up with the rehash of our own babble in between.
So. Yeah, I know. It was fun to listen to them, and I think that show is going to work real well. I actually got 2 emails saying what happened to David Cohen's, because it wasn't on our show and it wasn't on that show.
Right.
What happened is his the second episode of his just disappeared. He sent it to me via email. Mm-hmm. I never got it. It just disappeared into the ether. So it will be in the new one.
So we should see another episode of Fenestrations in the next Mac Mini podcast.
Yep, number 2. So that's what's going on up at MyMac.com. A lot of new content. Of course, we've always got something going on the blog side, whether it's political with Neil Monks, something funny with Chris Siebold. John Farr's been cranking out his experiences with the new MacBook. And he's got right now the second week posted, and I'm sure week number 3 will be coming up soon.
Yep.
David Avery, who we just got off the phone with, stem cells and fetal tissue, which of course is everybody's going to want to read that because it's completely not controversial and everybody will agree on that subject.
Oh, yeah.
This all kinds of stuff. And I post blogs up there occasionally. Mm-hmm. My John Lennon would have been a blogger. I talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll find funny videos. I'll post those up there.
Which you posted that Colbert interview with, which was just fantastic.
Yeah, it was funny, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, check out MyMac.com. A couple of people have emailed us asking, are you guys going to be at Macworld Expo this year? The answer is, we hope. We're looking for a sponsor.
Yep.
I'm actually talking to a few different companies. One of them, it's not actually a company, it's a consortium. And I can't get into it much more than that, but if things work out, Chad, we will be at the Macworld Expo. And if we go, we're going to do video, we're going to do audio, we're going to do at least one podcast every day during the expo. Mm-hmm. We're also going to do video stuff, going around with the video camera.
Yep.
We got a real nice video camera, a Canon GL2, edit it in high quality, post it up online.
Yep.
We just have fantastic ideas. The problem is money.
Mm-hmm.
We need a company to step forward, sponsor us, get a whole lot of PR during that week, because whoever sponsors us, we're just going to put that name out there a whole lot.
Yeah, you got it.
I had an interesting interview. I don't want to say with who yet because it's not online yet. But one of the questions was, are you used to... And by the way, if you're hearing a noise, the G5 is getting a little warm. The fans have kicked on now.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like to podcast? Do you get nervous doing the podcast? I mean, you guys have been doing it for a long time. And the answer is yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily get nervous anymore, but we're aware that the microphone is right there.
Right.
The way Chad and I talk to each other during the podcast,
isn't necessarily the way we talk when the microphone's turned off.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we like kept some of the outtakes of some of the things that
we've done.
Especially the intro of the show when you hear us this week, blah, 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 blah.
There's usually about three or four takes that it takes to get that little 30-second quip correct.
Yeah, because you want to get that part of it just, oh, not perfect, but good.
Yep.
And then the rest of it is just kind of talking back and forth. Mm-hmm. So I'm not nervous doing a podcast anymore, but sometimes it's harder to do it now than it was, say, a year ago.
Mm.
Because we have been doing it for so long.
Right.
That our production values are so much better than what they were before.
Mm-hmm.
But yet at the same time, it's hard to come up with a show every week that's substantially different from the one before, mm-hmm. where you have new content, and that you can fill an allotted amount of time. That's right. Why we like to do interviews, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. What do you think? How do you feel doing the show week after week after week? Is it easier? Is it harder?
Oh, I think, well, you know what? If you're talking about the actual physical reactions, being nervous, that's much easier. That just doesn't happen anymore. I'm just used to it. You know, you're used to going through the routine, and that's where the hard part comes in, is when it does become routine. And you keep asking yourself, are we doing this the right way? Is this just the same old for all our listeners?
I have a idea.
Yeah.
I'm looking up at the iChat window, and I see somebody just popped up. Julian.
Hmm.
What if we did an interview with him now? Not for this podcast, but we'll put it in the mini podcast.
We could do that.
You want to do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, well, so we're going to end this show. Look for the interview with Julian in the MyMac mini podcast out Monday, next Monday.
Yep.
Number 2. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.